So the listener I've got in my head right now is somebody who's behind. Maybe behind on payments, maybe behind on filing altogether. And they heard the IRS lost a big chunk of its workforce, and they're quietly hoping that means nobody's coming.
Yeah, and I understand why that's the hope. The article's answer is blunt, though. The humans are stretched thin, and the levies are fine. Because the levies aren't issued by humans.
Give me the numbers first. What does the data actually show?
Levies served on third parties peaked at roughly 3.7 million in fiscal year 2011. That's the IRS data book. Then a decade of decline as enforcement budgets shrank. Then 2020 and 2021, the IRS largely suspended automated collection notices, so counts hit historic lows. Then the notices restarted and the pipeline refilled.
3.7 million. In 2011. And that's, hang on, is that 3.7 million people?
No. And that's the reading note that trips everybody up. It counts levies served, not taxpayers levied. One person with two bank accounts, an employer, and a few 1099 clients can generate five or more levies in a single enforcement action.
Okay, so the taxpayer count is lower.
Lower, sure. Cold comfort if you're the one taxpayer.
Right. So the 27% workforce cut in 2025, that didn't touch any of this?
Two programs do the heavy lifting, and neither one is a person. There's the automated collection system, ACS, which mails the notice sequence and then, when the final notice window closes with no response, issues bank and wage levies straight out of a queue. Nobody reviews your hardship first. And then the Federal Payment Levy Program, FPLP, which is a continuous computer match between tax debts and federal payments. Up to 15% of Social Security, portions of federal salaries, contractor payments, retirement payments. Every month, automatically.
Say the twist part again, because when I read it, I actually stopped.
The workforce cut made levies harder to stop. Not harder to issue. Releasing a levy usually means reaching a human being on a phone line that has far fewer people answering it. The machine escalates on a schedule. The off switch has a hold time.
So the asymmetry is the whole story.
It's the most practical thing on the page, honestly. It's why acting before the final notice matters more than it did 10 years ago.
Let's talk about what a levy actually grabs, because I think people picture a tow truck.
Almost never. Physical seizures, cars, equipment, real estate, are tracked separately in the data book, and they number a few hundred per year nationwide. Seizing a primary residence requires court approval. The realistic exposure is your bank account, your paycheck, or your 1099 income, your state refund, and federal payments.
So bank levy versus wage levy. How do those differ?
Bank levy is one time. It takes what's in the account the day it's served. Not later deposits. And here's the part to remember. The bank freezes it and holds it 21 days before sending it to the Treasury.
21 days.
21 days. That hold is your window to seek a release. Wage levy has no clock at all. It's continuous. It repeats every payday. Leaves you a small exempt amount based on filing status and dependents. And it keeps going until the debt's resolved or the levy's released.
And if you're self-employed, there's no paycheck to garnish, so...
So they go to your payers. A one-time levy on accounts receivable. Gig platform payouts. Clients. And one time doesn't mean once ever. The IRS can reserve the same payer.
Okay, the notices. Because you keep saying before the final notice... And I want the listener to know which envelope is which.
Fixed sequence. CP-14 is the first bill, roughly 21 days to pay before the reminder cycle starts. No enforcement power yet. CP-501 and CP-503 are automated reminders, about 5 weeks apart. More interest each time. CP-504 is the notice of intent to levy. After 30 days, the IRS can take your state tax refund. Serious, but not the final notice.
And the final one is?
LT-11, or Letter 1058, Final Notice of Intent to Levy. That starts a 30-day clock, and it triggers your collection due process rights. You request the hearing on Form 12153. If those 30 days pass unanswered, ACS can levy banks, wages, and payers.
LT11, or Letter 1058, Form 12153. 30 days from the date printed on it.
From the printed date, yes. Not from when you opened it.
What do people control here? Because I don't want anybody hearing this and thinking there's a magic filing.
There isn't. What you control is compliance and timing. Short-term plan, no setup fee. Pay in full within 180 days. Interest and penalties keep running, but levies stop being issued. Long-term installment agreement, setup fee. Reduced or waived for low income. Up to 72 months online for balances at or under $50,000. Above $50,000, you can't do it online. You're submitting financials on Form 433F. Currently, not collectible costs nothing but requires documented hardship, and the debt and interest stay there. Offer in compromise. $205 fee plus 20% down on a lump sum offer. Both waived with low income certification. Months to decide. And it's strictly means tested.
And the acceptance number?
The IRS accepted roughly 1 in 5 offers in fiscal 2024. That's the reality, not the marketing.
There's a bankruptcy line in the article, too.
There is, and I want to be careful. The automatic stay stops levies immediately, but it carries major consequences. And that work sits outside what Clarity handles. If it's on the table for you, talk to your own counsel about it.
Fair. Now the piece I think matters most. Unfiled returns.
Unfiled returns generally block everything. Payment plan, hardship status, offer. And there's a second layer. If the IRS built the balance from substitute returns using your 1099s, you got zero business deductions. No mileage, no supplies, no platform fees. The article walks an example where a balance built that way came down substantially once the real returns went in, which moved the case under the $50,000 online plan line and under the $66,000 passport certification threshold for 2026.
Wait. Passport?
Above that threshold, the IRS can certify the debt to the State Department, which can deny or revoke a passport. Same taxpayer, same history. Very different position depending on whether the returns are filed.
So for a non-filer, the first move isn't negotiating.
It's replacing the number the IRS invented, not arguing with it.
All right, next 24 hours. What does someone do tonight?
Find your most recent notice. Check the code in the top corner. CP504 or LT11 means a real 30-day window is running from the printed date. Anything earlier, you have more room. Then pull your account transcripts and notice history from your IRS online account so you know every year with a balance. Then gather three things: last filed return, income records for any unfiled years, and every IRS letter you've got.
And if a levy's already moving, or the balance is built on substitute returns, or it's payroll taxes.
Those are the cases where experienced help changes how the work goes. Because the 21-day bank window and long hold times don't mix with trial and error. Our enrolled agents will pull your notice history and map where you actually stand. Free case review, 888-825-7779. The automated systems keep running while you decide, and no one can tell you how the IRS will rule on your facts. But the notice date is yours to work with, and it's running.